the Juhu land that would be purchased some 7 years later. So at that time, see, this is the desire of the pure devotee. He saw this place, this nice place, he thought. Some say at the time it wasn't such a nice place. It was fisherman's village. But Prabhupada saw a very wonderful place at that time. And later on, he came back in 1972. He purchased that land. So it was the next day today. Prabhupada booked his ticket from Mumbai, from Bombay to Calcutta to take the train in order to board the Jaladuta. So they're not mentioned so much. We have Prabhupada's arrival day in the USA, the day he left India these days. But all along, Srila Prabhupada was doing so much in order to make this trip happen so that we could be here today in Vrindavan. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 22, and I believe it's text 23. Hridaya svavasamsi Preshta sangama sajitaha Grihita chitta na chelos Tasmin la jayite kshanaha Hridaya svavasamsi Preshta sangama sajitaha Grihita chitta no chelas Tasmin na jayite kshanaha. Hridaya svavasamsi Krishna Sangama Sanjitaha Krahita Chitta Na Chelas Tasmin Na Jayite Kshanaha. Vasamsi Krishna Sangama Sajitaha Grihita Chitta Nachoilas Tasmin Lajayite Kshanaha. Hridayaspa Vasamsi Krishta Sangama Sajitaha Grihita Chitta Na Chelas Tasmin La Jayite Kshanaha. Hey ladies, Hridaya Svavam Samsi Grihita chitta na chelas Tasmin la jayite kshanaha. Hridaya svavam samsi Krishna sangama sajitaha Grihita chitta na chelas Tasmin na jayite kshanaha. Hridaya, putting on, svavam samsi, their own garments, preshta, of their beloved, sangama, by this association. Sajitaha, becoming completely attached to him. Prihita, taken away. Chitaha, whose minds? Na, could not. U, indeed. Chelohu, move. Tasmin, upon him. Lajayita, full of shyness. Ikshanaha, whose glances? Translation: the gopis were addicted to associating with their beloved Krishna, and thus they became captivated by him. Thus, even after putting their clothes on, they did not move. They simply remained where they were, shyly glancing at him. Purport: by association with their beloved Krishna, the gopis had become more attached to him than ever. Just as Krishna had stolen their clothes, he had also stolen their minds and their love. The gopis interpreted the whole incident as proof that Krishna was also attached to them. Otherwise, why would he have gone to the trouble of playing with them in this way? Because they thought that Krishna was now attached to them, they glanced at him with shyness. And being stunned by the rising of their ecstatic love, they could not move from where they stood. Krishna had overcome their shyness and forced them to come out of the water naked. But now, having dressed properly, they again became shy in his presence. In fact, this incident increased their humbleness before Krishna. They did not want Krishna to see them staring at him, but they cautiously took the opportunity to glance at the Lord. I can repeat the translation. The gopis were addicted to associating with their beloved Krishna, and thus they became captivated by him. Thus, even after putting their clothes on, they did not move. They simply remained where they were, shyly glancing at him.
Umagina timidandasya ginandana salakaya chaksul and militam jaina tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobistam stapitam jaina bhutale svayavarupa kadamayam dadati sva patandikam vanchakopa tirubhischa kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So we've been hearing from wonderful classes over the last few days. I listened to Bhakti dear Damodar Maharaj speak about the gopis completely surrendered to Krishna. No other thoughts. Yesterday we heard from Radhakanta Prabhu. So I'm trying to listen to understand what to say, how to say in these situations. And of course for me, I think you all have an idea where I'm going to go. Srila Prabhupada, I was thinking one thing, in all these cases, Prabhupada talks about, what's the word he uses? Let me see, I already forgot the word. Bowing down. This is everyone's position. Prabhupada speaks about bowing down. It's like we see with the gopis, completely enchanted, frozen. We used to see this with Srila Prabhupada when he was present devotees would freeze in front of him. This is how we learn the process of love, through the spiritual master. When I first saw Srila Prabhupada, he asked me my name. I was frozen, just looking. What to speak of being before Krishna? I've told many times, very early meetings before I was a servant, Prabhupada was always teaching us how to see Krishna, the proper way to understand Krishna. He said when he stood up, Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, the primeval Lord. He said, that's who we serve. Everyone is serving. He said, but we're proud to be servants of Krishna. And then he looked at us, just two, three, four in front of him, and he smiled. He said, we don't care if he's God. Maybe he's not God. We just love Krishna. This was the gopi's position. Just in love with Krishna. Not such an easy thing to achieve that position. Prabhupada talks about bowing down. He said, everyone, we're always bowing down. We can bow down before the Lord, or you bow down before the material energy. He describes it. You're bowing down to death, disease, old age, bowing down to so many things. You're forced to bow down. I cannot bow down. I don't want to like. Just when one comes. We heard this very early. This is Garga Muni said, why should I bow down? We're always bowing down. You have to bow down. Why you forget your position? That's our disease. Now we have to find out, where shall I be happy with my bowing down? Bowing down to birth, old age, disease, and death, not a fun thing. Bowing down to Krishna, very much fun. In the morning, those of you that come to Mangal Arati, if you're in a position to be on the other side of rope, it looks like a 100-meter marathon bowing down. Prabhupada, of course, was not like that. Prabhupada would offer his dandavats before the deities very carefully, attentively. Sometimes the devotees are so eager to get to that last altar before Radha Shyama Sundar. They look like they're doing... They go from one place to the next. No, we're bowing down. But we have to bow down properly before the Lord. It's not some gymnastic game. I said when I was with Prabhupada, and it took me a long time to realize that, I bowed down so many times in front of Srila Prabhupada. Told you, every time I would bring in one chapati, bow down, give him a chapati. No, first give him the chapati, then you bow down. Then you run back to the room. Then you can run, not here before the deities trying to beat the next person. No, then you ran back to the room, made another chapati, puff up, run back into the room, slide it on the plate, bow down. More dal. Go back out, bring the dal back in, put the dal on his plate, bow down. Our business is bowing down. I realize with these verses, more than ever, how wonderful it was that Prabhupada never said, why you keep bowing down? You did it so many times today. Could have been the only good thing I was doing was bowing down before Srila Prabhupada. So much benefit is there. I said how when even his Sanskrit editor came into the room one time, next time, next time, each time bowing down little less, till the final time he just bopped his head on the ground and sat up to ask Prabhupada his question. Prabhupada in his very amazing way, demonstrative way, said, don't do the hatchet in your bowing down. You do properly. But everything we do, we're bowing down. Not just when we bow down. This is our whole life, is bowing down in service to the Lord. We always have to bow down. Like he said, you're bowing down to the family, you're bowing down to your boss, even to the dogs. Literally bowing down. Bow wow. Bow. Bowing. Even the dogs bowing. So this is our life. Who do we want to bow down to? Here, every verse we see how to bow down before Krishna. When I was with Prabhupada, no one gave me any instructions. Always say, now we have programs for everything. We have a seminar, anything you want. Japa seminar is there, 1, 2, 3. GBC seminars, learn how to become GBC, learn how to become guru, initiating guru, Bhakti Shastra courses. Our only courses was Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning, chant your rounds, and go out on Harinam. I heard Daiva Shakti say the other day, first day you're out, they send you out there on the street to distribute back the Godhead magazines, even before there was book distribution. We all did this, because this is very pleasing to Krishna. Huh? Very pleasing to the spiritual master. That type of bowing down, giving Krishna to others. And the more difficult it is, the more appreciation is there. I, by the mercy of Krishna, gives intelligence, just like Krishna stole all the clothes of the gopis. Mine was just the opposite, was to put all the clothes out for Srila Prabhupada on his bed. No one ever told me, but somehow he would come out of the bathroom with his gamcha on after bathing, and on his bed each piece of clothing was there, and he would dress. This is Krishna consciousness, understanding what service it is. It was right here in that room. Prabhupada said, first class servant knows what to do without being asked. And again, I thought he was just telling me. He was telling me that this is your business. You should know what to do. You've been with me for such a long time. I do the same thing every day. He didn't say it like that. No, but he gave that understanding every day. Daiva Shakti would say, prasadam, right on time. If you're a few minutes late, you're maya. You're not bowing down properly. You're not thinking. You're not conscious. Imagine 15 minutes from the time you left his body, touching his lotus feet, massaging his lotus feet with oil. And then he gets up, just like here. Prabhupada with such a beautiful walk. This is what we saw. The gopis, they were seeing everything Krishna did. Every movement, they would fall more and more in love with him. This is ideally what would happen with Srila Prabhupada. Every moment, everything you saw him do, every hand gesture, every time he picked up the cup, take a drink of water, not touch his mouth with the cup, everyone would be ecstatic just seeing how he did that. Everything, taking his glasses, that was my job. His glasses were there. Sometimes he would use them, sometimes he didn't. Sometimes I thought it was giving the glasses some service to do. He did say everything was personal. But I would follow him. Every move you would have to know what to do. When to take the cane. When to take off his slippers. When to put on the slippers. I said in New Dwarka, one day, so many times people, they would want to do what I was doing. Everybody wanted to do that. Not just the men, the women too. Govinda Dasi, she was the first. Prabhupada, I can give you massage. No. No, that you can't do. But she wanted to. We all wanted to. We all wanted to be on the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. And when he was sitting in his room in the morning before the walk, the devotees would come in and sit down. We would automatically imitate everything he did. But you would get to watch Prabhupada's movements so nicely, putting on his tilak. One of my favorite things, just watching him put tilak on his forehead. Everyone loved it. And then when that was done and he put it big on his arms, if you were fortunate enough to be in the room, you'd just watch Prabhupada. He was completely transcendental. You were there, you weren't there. It didn't make any difference. He did the same thing. I was there. When I was there, I was certainly invisible. He didn't care I was there or not there. He did his same program. And I was supposed to understand what that was. I was supposed to become first class. We're all supposed to become first class servants. First class at bowing down every moment. Whatever that bowing down is, whether it's doing dandavats, obeisances, cooking in the kitchen, we're all bowing down all the time. And as Prabhupada says in this little paragraph here, you're either going to bow down to Maya, or you're going to bow down to Krishna. They're your only choices. No independence is there. And we would watch. And Prabhupada, when he finished tilak, every morning, same thing, chant Gayatri. So everybody imitates Prabhupada, we'll follow his example, chant Gayatri. And every morning I would laugh watching them, because no one could get through Gayatri Mantra as quickly as Prabhupada. He also knew that. Even he had his sannyas mantra. Still, he'd be finished. When he was finished, he stood up, and he's headed towards the door. I'm standing at the door with all my paraphernalia, his paraphernalia. In one hand, a cane. In the other hand, there on the floor, the shoes. Because he moves. He doesn't waste one second of time in his bowing down in his service. Not one second. And as he's walking, all the devotees are frantic. They have to finish Gayatri Mantra, right? No one can interfere with your Gayatri Mantra. Such a sacred, special, Brahminical activity. In those days, very, very special. Brahmins, very special people. You had to wait at least a year to get Brahmin initiation. And everything was happening so fast. So many people didn't have, few people had. And those that had, you looked at them wondering what is happening inside their heads as they say this mantra. Because it's a secret mantra. And Prabhupada's walking to the door and they don't know whether stop chanting, get up and chant with while you're walking or what to do. I think Prabhupada also knew. It was one of his, how he would play with us. He enjoyed his young boys and girls. He especially enjoyed us sitting on the Vyasasan, watching us jump up and down. That was also part of our bowing down, jumping up and down. And he would play. He only had to move his head. He moved his head, we moved. Our whole bodies moved with his head. Completely addicted. Like it's described here, addicted. Everyone's addicted. Everyone's addicted. It's very hard to break addictions, to become addicted to Krishna. I even see here in Vrindavan, such a wonderful place. Took me decades to be able to understand, have a little understanding of how special Vrindavan is. Because you're in the West, we're addicted. So many comforts are there. Not so many comforts anymore. But so much comfort. Everything was easy. Electricity never went out. My whole life, 50, 60 years, I never saw electricity go out. Here it's all the time. Well, people are addicted to that comfort. But Prabhupada told me, if there's a bed, you sleep in the bed. If there's no bed, you sleep on the floor. That's a devotee. Whatever Krishna provides. So Prabhupada's walking to the door. One day, devotee, friend, begged me, let me put Prabhupada's shoes on. It was my service. You don't give away your service. It belongs to you. Not such an easy thing, oh, today, all right, you do it today, this day you do it. No, no, no. That you don't give away. And I saw what happened. Because when Prabhupada would come, I knew what to do. Hand him his cane in his right hand. He puts his one foot into his shoe. And I had a little shoehorn sometimes just my fingers behind. But I had the little shoehorn, and I would slip it in, just so there was no difficulty, no wobbling. And then he took his next step forward. He didn't stop. Prabhupada wasn't into stopping, always moving forward in his service, not wasting a moment. He was eager to go outside, fresh air, sunrise coming up. He'd be at the beach or he'd be at the beautiful gardens. That's where he walked. He didn't go walking in a shopping mall. Some people are addicted to that. Have to go to the shopping mall. No, Prabhupada liked nature that Krishna had provided. That's why he liked Juhu so much. Said one of his two favorite places. Prabhupada had everywhere was favorite places, but sometimes he would say things, emphasize things that he liked. He said two favorite places was Juhu and Hawaii. The climate was nice, but no, he liked the coconuts. Dab. He'd say Dab. He would say one word to me after his nap in Juhu, because there were lots of Dabs. And he would get up from his nap, sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes might be 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And sometimes when I saw him, you could see that he had taken a nap. He was beautiful. His clothes would be disheveled, wrinkled. His dhoti, no kurta. It's Juhu. You don't wear a kurta in Juhu. And he would head to the bathroom. He wouldn't even look at me. I'd be sitting right outside his room. Dab. That's all I heard. That's a Dab. I'd run into the kitchen. Everything was already ready. Up there. Clip the little Dab, put the gold straw in it. Disciple had given him golden straw. I believe we have that straw here. Yes, Daibashakis. Yes, that straw here is locked up. Prabhupada's golden straw for his Dab. Every moment was ecstatic. This is what's being described here, verse after verse after verse. The ecstasy. Being with the pure devotee, everything is ecstasy. Whether he's chastising you, rewarding you, giving you a gift, whatever it is, ecstasy. But sometimes if you're not bowing down properly, no ecstasy, anxiety. So I let that boy put Prabhupada's shoes on one day. And all he did was fumble, and I could see Prabhupada with his cane, and that was it. Never again give up my service. It was my service. One day Prabhupada said, when Tamal, I ran down three flights of stairs, because Tamal, Krishna Maharaj, wouldn't let me in the elevator with Prabhupada. That was my service, I thought. But sometimes I got trumped by higher authorities. Sannyasi, GBC, During 1967, I was a child. He would look at me, Tamal Krishna. He pushed his way into the elevator. I ran down all the stairs and the doors opened. Tamal looked, saw me standing there, waiting, waiting to help Prabhupada out of the elevator. Prabhupada, Sruta Kirti, he's already here. Prabhupada said, yes, Kirti means expert. That's our goal. That's our desire. We want to become expert in our service. Not jumping around. I'm tired of this service. I've done this for a few months. I know what I'm doing. Now I want to do something else. Prabhupada, like, you took a service. It was for the rest of your life, if you can do that service. Sometimes he would talk about temple presidents. Every week, he would say, changing presidents. Every month, 10 times. Prabhupada had a way with numbers. I've been ringing the bell for hours. If he was ringing it for more than a few seconds, it meant hours he was waiting. Never wait. In your service, don't ever make Krishna wait. What did he say here? Deity worship. Two things. He didn't say you had to make the most delicious, the biggest number of preparations. He said cleanliness and punctuality. Then you're perfect in your service. But everything we do, we're serving the deities. That's what I learned with Srila Prabhupada. He was a deity to be served. And his schedule was just like that, every day. And if I didn't come into his room sometimes, New Dwarka, he rang the bell. Came into the room, offered obeisances, bowed down. He looked at me, he said, can you give me massage now? Because it was time for massage. I should have already been there knowing what I was supposed to do. Not that you have to wait for somebody to tell you, you do this, you do this. You know what to be done. That's consciousness. That's Krishna consciousness. The same thing in the material world. I had a business. We had a time clock. In the morning, you got to punch in the morning on time. It's everywhere. Everyone's bowing down. Bowing down to the time clock, bowing down to your boss. We have to bow down. Prabhupada's made us so fortunate. We get to bow down before Krishna. Every day, all night. Back in those days we learned, first thing you did when you rise in the morning, what's the first thing you do? You offer obeisances, you offer dandavats. You're already there on the floor, not a difficult thing. You offer your dandavats. You clean that place where you slept. When you go to bed, last thing you do when you go to bed, offer your dandavats. Always remembering the spiritual master, remembering Srila Prabhupada. I had a few different things I was going to try to read. So yes, then as a servant, I knew what I was supposed to do. And we can't allow anything to interfere with that. Sometimes I did. We all have, sometimes we do things, we're not perfect. One of my ones, and Prabhupada was so, everything he did was just wonderful. How he taught us, even how he chastised us. He only chastised so you would become better. Knowing how to bow down before Krishna, how to bow down before the spiritual master. That's what he was teaching. It was for our benefit, everything. Told you I went, when I was away from him for 6 months, I was in Caracas. I got to know all the devotees there. Veera Bahu, his wife, Javi, all these different devotees. And then, for me, it was a glorious moment. I went back as Prabhupada's servant. again. I had been Prabhupada's servant for a year. They all knew that. So then I went back with Srila Prabhupada, and he got on the Vyasa-san. And me, I forgot everything. I was filled with pride. Wanted them all to see, all my god brothers, god sisters, yes, I'm back with Prabhupada. So wonderful. Prabhupada had just come from Mexico City. End of February, it was cold. He had his socks on. Caracas wasn't cold. Caracas was hot. So I help, of course, lead Prabhupada on the Vyasa-san. He sits down, and I'm just looking around, recognizing this person, that person. I didn't literally give the wave, but I was looking so they could see me serving. Only thing was, I wasn't serving. Prabhupada was warm. And while I was gazing into the temple room, looking at god brothers, god sisters, he took his socks off by himself. Of course, he could do that any time. But that was a gift for me, to take his socks off. Who could have such wonderful service? I would put Prabhupada's socks on before a morning walk. I would take them off. When it was really cold in New Dwarka, I would put his long underwear on, help him put his long underwear on. This is dressing the deities, dressing Srila Prabhupada, most wonderful thing. But I forgot what I was doing. I became inattentive. And all of a sudden, Prabhupada had taken his socks off. He rolled them into a ball and he threw them right at my head. I didn't know it happened until they hit me in the head. That's how he woke me up. Pay attention to what you're doing. You're only here because I'm here. You're supposed to be taking care of me. That's your benefit. That's your good fortune. We all are filled with good fortune here in Vrindavan. It's like nowhere else on the whole planet, the whole universe. We get to be here. So we all need to be very attentive in our service. And the more you do that, the more you can experience this kind of bliss, this kind of ecstasy, become frozen just by seeing the Lord. And we don't have to rush it, boom, 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 like it is in the morning sometimes, boom, 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 everyone trying to get their place. Also nice to get a place to see the Lord. This morning was particularly crowded because it's a special day today, so it was very crowded today. But we're all very fortunate in every way. But we have to always understand how to bow down, who we're bowing down to. We can bow down to the material energy or not. We can bow down to Krishna at every moment. Then our lives become perfect. This is what we learn from the pure devotee. Every moment we saw him, we would learn more and more. So that was the last day I learned. Don't give up your service. Not a good idea. Take it, grab it. Lolium, be greedy for that service. The other time I gave it up, only time I cooked for Prabhupada, hundreds of times, hundreds of lunches. One day I told you, a young boy, I was 20, he was all at 12 years old, he asked to cook. And I took advantage of it, I thought I was taking advantage of it. At Bhaktivedanta Manor, I let him cook. Nothing was right. Prabhupada looked at me, he said, "You let him do it by himself?" It created more anxiety than I ever had doing my service by not doing my service. Filled me with anxiety. He never criticized when I cooked for him. Only time he criticized was because I didn't when I was supposed to. Again, that was our fortune. So always, whatever service you have, you keep it very closely. It's a gift. It's your good fortune coming through Krishna, coming through your spiritual master. When you're asked to do something, I always tell Dharmatma, I told him so many things were going on in my flat. I said, my head is, I'm not ready to give class. Yesterday morning or the day before, he said, will you give class Sunday? I can't say no to him, even though I thought, what am I going to say? But I knew ultimately we'll just talk about Srila Prabhupada. So we have some time left. Anyone have any questions? If not, I can complete some reading I have here. Any questions, anyone? No questions?
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, in your class you were speaking about bowing down and how important it is to bow down. And it looks like to bow down properly, we have to surrender. But to surrender, our false ego is kind of in a way. So how do we become egoless? How we can really remove the false ego?
Like Prabhupada told Garga Muni, you bow down and you'll understand. You just keep bowing down. We keep engaged in service. We take good association. Association very, very, very important. You know, like Prabhupada said, it can be 2 or 200. You have to find the people that help you, enthuse you in Krishna consciousness, enthuse you in your service. And more than anything, Prabhupada stressed what he did. It's what I said, Prabhupada was very regular. He was very regular in the morning program, rising early in the morning, going to Mangal Arati. You know, again, I said, but a very, very first instructions when we came to Vrindavan, Radha Damodar Temple. I was young from New Vrindavan. I was always up early chanting my rounds. Some of the other devotees I was with, they had been around for 5 years. They were older. They had joined when things were very different in ISKCON. So they generally would get ready for the morning walk. That was their routine. My routine was I had to be up with Srila Prabhupada 4 in the morning. But Prabhupada didn't approve of this sleeping so many times. If there is one thing we were chastised more than anything else, it was about sleeping. Sleeping when you're not supposed to be sleeping. I different things. Sleeping 12 times. And not just me, others. If somebody was sleeping, he didn't like it. He didn't like it. He didn't like sleep. Like he said, sleeping, waste of time. I hate sleep, he said. I hate it. He said that once to George, in front of George Harrison. And George Harrison, he was in ecstasy. Prabhupada, I feel the same way. I hate sleeping. I can't get anything done. The two of them were going back and forth so happily that they hated sleep. I still don't hate sleep. So we need to take what sleep is required. But here in Vrindavan, he said, call them. He didn't care I was 10 years younger than them. I was around for 1 year. They were around for 8 years. He said, call them. And then he lectured the three of us together in his room at Radha Damodar Temple. Rising early, taking cold bath, he said, isn't an austerity. He said, it's common sense. He said, rising early, taking cold bath, going to Mangal Arati, chanting your rounds. This was his program. Anywhere he went in the world, he expected that routine to go on. That's the most important thing. He wanted to see that routine. We were in the middle of nowhere. 3-4 of us. Prabhupada said, what's the program? No one understood what he meant. What's the program? He kept saying, well, we can arrange for this person to come, this person. We thought he wanted the lectures, you know, to give, speak to people. He said, no, what's the program in the morning? Why don't I hear you chanting 4:30 in the morning? That's what he was saying. Why aren't you up? It doesn't matter. There's no deities. There's no anything. You wake up in the morning. You have your samsara prayers. You chant your rounds. You have Tulsi Puja. I remember once taking a trip many years ago with Vaisheshika. We were going to go visit Paramahamsa, our good friend. It was an 8-hour ride. So we left 4 in the morning. He's driving. And he's like, chant. You know, we had the whole program in the car driving down the road. You know, I had the lead Mangal Arti Kirtan. We had Tulsi Puja in the car. Then I had to read from Bhagavatam. That's the routine. And if you do that routine, you become stronger and stronger in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, if you do this program, he told us that day, it was the most wonderful thing, he said. If you do this program, rise early in the morning, take cold bath, attend Mangal Arti, chant your rounds. He said, after 12 years, everything you say will be perfect. That's the program. This is our program. And then the rest of the day, you fill in with whatever your service may be. And you see, you perform that program. Coming to Mangal Arti, I have that bhajan going through my head all night long. I can't get it out of my head. Not a bad thing. But this is what happens. You're chanting all the time. When you're sleeping, you're chanting. The chanting just goes on. That's our business. So just keep doing it. That's what Prabhupada said. Just keep doing it. Everything will come. He said, guaranteed. He said, it's scientific. Scientific process. You have one more question? Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for your wonderful Prabhupada Lila.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, like in Vrindavan, we have this whatever habits, like we have a lot of sannyasis here. So, we have a habit not to go everywhere, misses every sannyasi and especially Prabhupada disciple and go down. But we see like devotees, lot of devotees, they go every sannyasi and go down. So what is your suggestion for this?
So you're saying that there are many sannyasis to bow down to?
In the place after Mangal Arti, like.
Yes. That also we have to use our intelligence, use our discretion. Always good to bow down. I know sometimes now getting up and down so many times can be difficult. But it's a practice. Prabhupada said, even Mayavadi sannyasi, you see him, you offer respect to the position, you can bow down. We always think of super soul, we always think of Krishna in the heart of everyone, in any situation. But I see in here, and Prabhupada wanted that here in Vrindavan, he said, the place should be filled with Goswamis, but teaching, hearing, very happy to see now that program going on in Balaram Hall, how it's expanded. Evening class, all the classes there. Prabhupada wanted constant classes, one after another. Of course, we have that. We have classes going on in the Goshala, VIHE program is there. Always hearing. Come to Vrindavan to hear. He talks about, I was going to read a few other things I didn't even touch on. One of them was about coming to Vrindavan as a tourist. He said, you get no benefit. You come to Vrindavan, you understand it. Non-different. Prabhupada says, non-different from Krishna, this place. That's why I said we're so fortunate to be in this place. And again, he created Vrindavan all around the world. Every center, he said, is Vaikuntha, good as Vrindavan. But then, this is Vrindavan. Yeah. So we're very fortunate to be here. I only asked that I can take advantage of it fully all the time. We can all take advantage of being here. So I think we can stop here. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Hare Krishna, thank you.